The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
And a pleasant good afternoon. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture. It's your Rise Show. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matty J, Matt Johnson. Matt, welcome. I think we need to change the name to the Fabulous Fashion Furniture.
Why not? Welcome, Pag Meter. Good to see you. Once a week, I get the chance to bump into you. It's good to see you again.
Yes, it is, and we're happy to always be here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. Easter time, the bunny rabbit's going to be in the house. Might as well get your house ready for the Easter Sunday when the family's coming over.
Clearly, you're one-stop shop for everything you need in the world of fashion and furniture.
And what's our rule, Matt? If they don't have it,
you don't need it.
That's right. They got it all. They got, if you have a house, a condo, apartment, a teepee, maybe out in the backyard, they're going to get you covered.
If you need some pizza, you need some homemade Bonnie's cookies are in the house.
And come over, hang out with our
how about me and
our
Ed's
studio.
Yeah, that's nice. Coming through and some me and Ed's pizza.
Yeah, thank you to Daniel. Had to go get it because that's just what he does for us. We got Bobby Boy and Russ taking care. We had a little phone issues, but these two guys could put Space Shuttle 16 on the moon if they wanted to.
Well, I'm sure that they were involved in robotics. Last week we had the Buchanan Robotics team. Yeah. And you kind of, you know, I got myself in a little predicament here because we talked about the national champion or regional champions on their way to the World Championships in Houston, Texas. Of course, we're talking about the Bird Brains from Buchanan. Unbelievable interview, great bunch of youth showing their techniques and their abilities throughout everyone in our valley. But there's a little squad called Madtown Robotics who's out of Madera High School. They're only ranked number one in the world, and they did win the national championship. They are the reigning national champions, and they are, without question, renowned throughout the world for their robotics team. So Madtown Robotics is also heading to Houston, and they were in the divisional placements, how they said it basically, as the big boys, the big school version, and they are the national champs, number one ranked in the world, and they'll be heading back to Houston. So shout out to Madera's Madtown Robotics and their continued success. They are the world's best.
Yeah, I'm excited because the Madtown group, they took the mascot here, they have the big Bob's big boy here, they turned him into a robot, and he was vacuuming this whole Fashion Furniture, so great job. This thing on weekends is on fire. So they programmed him. He started vacuuming this whole store.
That's the best you could come up with? I just laid it out there for you, and that's what you came up with.
That's what I got.
Anything that has to do with intellectual properties, robotics, that's it. There's no chance for you to...
I'm not making the...
You're not adding anything to
that. I got
that.
Nothing. I would be like, hey, you guys hungry? You want to get some pizza or something? That's what I'd be doing.
Sure.
And you'd get in their way, too. You would drop it. You'd try to put an extra deal on there. Come on. But you know what? Let's talk a little. Today, Randy Wright from the SJVOA officials is going to be here. We're going to talk maybe getting some new officials, maybe if you want to be an official. Because we, you know, every game, if you go to a Fresno State game and there's 33,000 people, there's 33,000 officials, right?
Yep.
And then about 1 o'clock.
You ought to be able to glean just a few out of that to go join SJVOA.
Yeah, everyone has an answer when they watch slow motion on football on Saturday and Sundays. And then about 1 o'clock, Jason Donald, the Buchanan Bear legend, former major leaguer, is going to join us. We're going to talk baseball, of all things. Unless he wants to talk Batman, I'm not sure.
Yeah, and Randy's brought a special guest, and we'll leave that to when Randy gets here to talk about. But we're talking not just high school, but someone who's climbed the highest mountain in the world of officiating to add a little insight into college football and other things, too.
Well, I got a bunch of messages and emails. They all want to know what we think about the Magic Johnson leaving the Lakers. My two cents before you talk.
Yep.
Magic Johnson is just above Elgin Baylor as the worst GM in the history of sports. He's horrible, and I think it's the best thing to do to get out of Dodge. I think the new wave of bringing a guy like LeBron in and four guys around him who aren't very good, that little model is off the charts. It will never work again. You got to have people that are good. You have to have five good players. That way's not going to work anymore. So, and I mentioned you got to bring a guy like Jerry West back in, because when he left the Lakers went downhill. Have you ever noticed?
Yeah. No, I think the Lakers, the planning, the strategy. First of all, great move by Magic Johnson. I applaud Magic Johnson. He will always be one of my favorite athletes and icons of all time. I think he did the right thing, and he was not the GM, okay? And he was not fully invested in making the decisions, I'm quite sure. With Jeannie Buss, good friend of mine, was at college at USC when I was there. I don't know if she's her skill set. I don't believe the GM Pelinka is really doing anything to help. And I do believe they made a fatal move by bringing in LeBron James without having a backup fallback plan to, as you say, pad their roster a little bit more. If you're going to run the Walton system that came from Golden State, you have to have shooters. A bad draft pick with Ball, I think they definitely made the right move by bringing in LeBron James, but he needs the complimentary piece, and they dropped the ball on that figuratively and literally big time. So I think Magic Johnson's doing the one thing he should be doing, keeping himself happy as he goes into the later years of his retirement and get away from that dysfunctional mess that are the Lakers right now.
No question about it, but it seems like wherever Jerry West goes, that team seems to win right after he leaves.
Certainly. He's special. He's pretty good.
Well, look at what he did. He was in the Lakers, started in 1982. They did pretty good in the 80s. Left 2000. So when he left, the Lakers didn't win again. Then he goes couple years at the Memphis Grizzlies.
Right.
Turned that whole place around. Turned them into a winner. Then he goes to the Warriors in 2011. And I think they've done pretty well.
Yeah.
So whatever he kind of gets involved with,
yeah,
he's a winner. Magic Johnson's not a winner when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And Pat Riley, you put a lot on Pat Riley as not only the coach and now is in the front office and doing what he does in the NBA. I think those were two people that were absent from the Lakers of today. And I think you said this before anyone was talking about it. They hung on to Kobe Bryant for too long, who held the Lakers hostage.
5 years.
Yeah, they held on to him too long. They had no money to go out and reassemble and keep themselves reloaded, as they always were known for that. The Lakers and Celtics were always known as being in the top of the food chain, but they were very good with sensing that that era was over. Now let's reload for the next group, as they did with Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant. When Kobe Bryant was waning, they never had a plan to move him and then bring in new young talent. It waited too long.
And thank God the NBA season finally going to start now. The regular season is officially over. It's been going on, I would say, 3 months too long. I don't know who watches regular season NBA, but it's horrible. It is horrible, as you say, Bill Walton. But we can get to the regular playoffs now. Basketball will start. We'll actually try.
Yeah, but isn't that similar, if not exactly the same, as college basketball? College basketball doesn't get started in the national conscious until March Madness hits. Then everyone climbs on board, and it's the biggest spectacle sport probably ever.
I think it's completely wrong. I think you're out of line to even say that.
Are you tuning into college basketball during the regular season, picking up all the games on? I'm not watching St. John's Syracuse on a Saturday afternoon.
They play 30 games a year. Maybe 30-something games a year.
Yeah.
NBA's 82 long, embarrassing, boring games that they're not even trying. Sorry, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, this is where I want every player to gamble on
their own. Well, I feel the same
way
about baseball. I'll pick up an occasional big contest, like right now my Dodgers are playing your Cardinals. I'll pick up those kinds of games. But I'm not getting tuned into baseball until it gets close to the postseason.
Well, that because
there's only one sport, two sports.
Well, either love Matt.
College football. NFL football, that you can watch from beginning
to
end, no problem.
You're an NFL and college football fan. I'm a baseball fan. Every baseball player that loves baseball will watch games. It doesn't matter. You're not a baseball guy. Sorry.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't walk into my best buddy. You used to be my best friend, but you no longer are. I don't walk into my neighbor's house and, hey, I see you got the Red Sox on. Who's watching, really?
I am.
They're watching.
Baseball fans
are. When the postseason gets close and everyone has their favorite teams, I'm talking pure numbers from a national conscience. Who's really watching? More people are probably watching. By the way, the MLS and soccer is finally starting to hit this country. And soccer will start to overtake in television and ratings you watch, and there will be two sports left, NBA and NFL football.
I would say California, maybe for your soccer.
No. Have you follow the Portland
Timbers? You go to
crazy.
The blue states, you got zero chance of watching soccer. Sorry, zero chance. Only in California. You're going to watch soccer. Baseball's big if you're a baseball fan. If you're not a baseball fan, I can't talk you into being a baseball fan because you don't know the game. You've never played the
game.
I
am a baseball fan.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
You just said you're not. I'm not watching.
All-star game, I'm intrigued. I watch, and I watch postseason, and I'll occasionally pick up the Dodgers or the Giants. I like them both. People go crazy when I say that. And I'll pick out some games here and there. But I get ready for football. And they could play a 32-game
schedule.
Because
you played football.
No, it has nothing to do with me playing football. America. Not everybody in America played football, but football is it. It is now the Nationals' pastime. It is hands down not even close. No one rivals football.
Of course not. They got their own day. I agree. Now,
college included.
NBA basketball, I'm a basketball fan, but I can't stand the NBA because this is when, Matt, I want everyone to gamble every night like Pete Rose did.
Yeah.
$10,000 every game on your own team.
Yeah.
And I think they try a little harder.
Well,
okay. I want them to gamble on their own team because the rest, they're going about 50%. If I'm going to bring my family to go watch a game and
you're the one
Steph
who started
Curry
this, you put down the NBA. No one watches. Finally, the season started.
Oh, it's horrible.
I would venture a guess that the NBA has better ratings than Major League Baseball.
I don't know about that. I don't even care because I'm a baseball fan.
NBA.
I don't care. I don't really care.
And MLB.
I don't care.
With hockey and soccer getting close.
I watched the Giants yesterday, and they're the worst team in baseball. But I watched that game. I watched last night. I watched the Angels play. They got no chance to go to the playoffs.
Give me a little insight while you're watching. What do? You sit down on the couch and you get all excited.
Yeah, I think as a pitcher, and I also think as a hitter what he's thinking about. And we're going to talk to Jason Donnelly at 1 o'clock.
Of course we are.
And he does because he's a baseball guy. Here's the greatest rival stat I've ever seen. This is amazing to me. You know, we had for years the Fresno State played Boise State. We thought it was a rival, even though they beat us every year for 10, 15 years.
Edison,
right?
Bullard,
that's a rival.
That's a rivalry.
But the Dodgers and Cardinals have been playing since 1892. The Dodgers have 1,029 wins. The Cardinals have 1,029 wins. Today, they're playing right now. The Dodgers are winning. I'll get the score before we go to break. Someone's going to have 1,030 wins. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew, welcome to the Wright Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, let me see, basketball, totally my favorite sport, so full disclosure, and I'm an old basketball player, but it's just literally impossible to despise the NBA like it sounds like I'm hearing over the station and then say that you're a basketball fan at the same time. That just doesn't make sense. Just admit that you hate basketball
and then let's just
move on. But don't say you love basketball, mwah, 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 but you hate the NBA. NBA, the crowning achievement of basketball, the greatest league in the world. So just say you don't like basketball.
Matthew, first of all, let me congratulate you on being a part of the Matthew family of great names. I'm with you.
Thank you
for mentioning that. In one breath, it can be finally this is happening and this is not good, but then it is he's a basketball fan. Well, call it like it is. I think you're right on the money. He does not like the NBA.
Hey,
clearly.
Matt, let me tell you.
Pagmeter does not like NBA.
I watch more high school basketball, boys and girls, and probably anyone else in the Valley. I watch college basketball, but I cannot stand watching the NBA regular season because they don't hustle, and they only play on a weekend when it's a primetime game. The rest, Matt, if you want to go watch two teams that they look like they're playing, like Mama Luke Pro Bowl, go for it. Do you like the All-Star game? That's great basketball, too, huh, Matthew?
I do not like the All-Star game, but the All-Star games pretty much in any sport other than baseball are not good. Look, and I totally hear you. I actually appreciate both of you guys how knowledgeable you are about JC, high school, and college athletics, and I don't doubt that you spend time appreciating boys and girls high school basketball, so I do appreciate that. I just think that the NBA, they try hard enough, dude. If you see how difficult it is to do what they're doing, I think they try incredibly hard, and it's just not on TV enough. What's the deal of having college basketball on more than the NBA? That's just a non-starter. That makes a grand total of no sense. They need to put it on more than just an occasional weekend day, preempt some of the terrible programming that's on mainstream television anyway, and have more NBA on there. That's what I would appreciate. But of course, you're right. The playoffs is a totally different thing than the regular season. But it's that way in any sport, you know?
Thanks, Matthew. And I disagree with that, too, because there's not one in baseball. If you're watching baseball, you'll never see Mike Trout taking that bat off. You'll never see an outfielder lollygag on a fly ball. You'll never see a pitcher Clayton Kershaw, which you love, throw a little Mama Luke pitch over there. Yeah. Here, just hit it, Michael. Try. Hit it as far as you can. No, they won't do that. Now, you're right. The NBA regular season, you watch the playoffs. How much harder they play now? It's a whole other world, and that's why I have a problem with the regular season.
Okay, in the National Basketball Association, the amount of wear and tear on the joints, the ankles, the knees, running up and down the court, going from city to city in a regular season schedule, they can't humanly crank it up like maybe you think they can in baseball, which actually it is kind of easy to crank it up at times in baseball, even though your body's tired, because a lot of times you just stand around and don't do anything and sit in the dugout. In basketball, they're actually on the court moving those big bodies up and down. So if you're asking them to play playoff mentality effort at all times, I think that's a little disingenuous. But I will say this. I want to ask you, in the ranking of all the major professional sports, where do you rank each individual sport in your hierarchy?
Well, I think you got to look individual. I don't go by the, you know.
What's your favorite sport in the professional? Baseball?
I probably go football, baseball, and then basketball. I like hockey as well. I think hockey is every night. They don't like each other. You don't like me. I don't like you. Let's go. They don't really care. They go for it. I just don't want to see a sport where they turn it up a notch. Now it's playoff time. And just drives me crazy.
I think, you know, in taking Matthew's call is, and listening and trying to decipher exactly where he's going with it, I will say this much. I think he's absolutely right on this point. Played basketball. I played basketball at a high level. I tried to go out every week, twice a week at times, and play to the best of my abilities. But you just can't lay whatever you're talking on the line. We're talking about a league that is set up to get ready and rev through all those contests to get a favorable playoff position and then crank it up in the playoffs. And you're saying that, no, baseball does the same thing. Atmosphere in baseball is a lot different than it is in the regular season. NFL's no different,
The NBA. It's a slower game in the playoffs. That's the only difference. Clayton Kershaw is still throwing 93 with a cutter. He's throwing the changeup. He's throwing the curveball. There's no difference,
And being a batter in baseball, to me, is akin to being at the free throw line.
Are you kidding
me? Every attempt at the free throw line, those guys are digging in to throw in the best opportunity to make a basket as possible.
Of course.
At the plate? How can you lay off at the plate? Now, running to first base? Yeah, Machado, they don't loaf, do they?
Machado loafs all the time.
You have never seen guys. Yeah, thank you very much.
There's loafing going on in baseball. There's many hot dogs in every sport. The question to me, okay, if I go out and buy NBA tickets for, let's say I got two boys and a girl and I spend $150 a ticket and I see them lollygagging, well, you know what? If they're lollygagging to me, then quit basketball and go work at a car wash. Don't take my time up and my money if you're not going to go try. And that's why I would never endorse to go spend money in the NBA in a regular season game. End of story.
Okay, it's clear. Sure. You're not a fan. I get it.
Oh, God, you didn't hear.
You're not a fan.
Walter, he didn't hear what I just said.
Anyone who would spit that kind of vitriol out against the sport, you're not really a fan.
So I'm not a fan either. So if I go to a restaurant, well, we didn't get the best chef today. I'm not going to get that best steak. So, you know, Sonny in there is cooking today, and he's not very good, but I'm going to be okay with that. Really? I just spent my Easter brunch. I'm taking my family out because Sonny's in there who can't cook. I'm supposed to be happy with that?
You're not a fan.
You're a simple guy that likes to settle.
Yeah.
You're a settler.
Don't portray.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Matter of fact, now that I've known you for all these years, as you're wearing your Boston Red Sox pullover shirt.
Yeah, I like
there's it. There's nothing at all. As I go into your house, your garage, there's not a ball, basketball in there. There's nothing even remotely close. You've got golf clubs. You've got baseball bats, baseballs. You've got a football in your garage. I've seen that. I haven't seen one shred of any evidence that you're a NBA or basketball fan.
I played many years in the City League. I still got my shoes in there with my three basketballs.
You're the pag meter.
So grow up.
You follow high school sports.
So stop.
I commend you.
So stop it.
But you don't like professional basketball. I get that.
I love the playoffs. I can't. I will never watch 1 minute of the regular season. I can't.
Hey, you're going to stop by the game. Come to my house. Or you come to my. We don't even talk basketball during the playoffs.
Yeah, we do.
You have a few little things you picked up on the internet. Like, I heard such and such scored a lot of points last night. You don't even watch.
I think you're talking perfectly. Example is correct. Is they will be healthy and ready to rock and roll for the playoffs because they've all taken 2 months off. That's the way it is. Yeah, I'm not playing hard today, coach. Well, okay, Steve Kerr, what? Well, hey, put your hands up. Who's 100% and wants to play hard today? I will, coach. You take it easy then, okay? Just play. Just go three line to three line and don't work. You know, that's what they talk. Come on. But I feel bad for the fans. They spent all this money, and Steph Curry, hey, Dad, where's Steph Curry? He's not suiting up today, son. I know I just spent my month's salary, but Steph Curry decided to take the day off. And they do that in baseball. I get it, because they play many games.
I was just going to jump in.
But you don't see that in baseball.
It's my day off. I don't
if I go see the Angels and Mike Trout doesn't play, I could care less. I don't really care if Mike Trout doesn't play or Bryce Harper. I'm going to see a baseball game.
It's because you're huge. I respect it. And to anyone out there listening, respect the heck out of it. You're a huge baseball fan.
I'm a huge baseball fan.
When I looked around your TV and your little living room setup, you've got Cardinals baseball bat. You've got a signed autograph. You've got all kinds of little trinkets. You've got the bobblehead dolls in your little kitchen area.
Hey,
you've got all kinds of baseball stuff all over the house.
I was a big Laker fan in the 80s, and Kobe Bryant killed it for me.
You go to my house on the wall by my TV, there's the Joe Montana jersey. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, I was when Magic played with Worthy and Kareem, that was Laker basketball. When then Kobe Bryant showed up, I can't stand Kobe. I don't like the me-me-eye. I don't like the LeBron style. It's all about me-me-eye. I don't like that Matt Johnson style. I don't do it. I'm about a team, and this is why the Lakers are going to have some issues until they get some players around LeBron. Question is, Matt, does anybody want to play with LeBron?
The question is, I'm done talking on the subject.
Okay.
I'm absolutely finished.
Let's go.
I see where you stand. Let's move along. We are ready for a great show.
Yeah, you want to tune in. Everyone's
got their
eyes covered.
That wasn't even on the script, ladies and gentlemen. That was unscripted. That is real.
This is why we like phone
radio.
Calls. 844-940 ESPN.
One
call
phone
on
call.
Show.
It was all it took.
Yeah.
Love it. I hope someone else will call in. Maybe talk about the Masters and something else going on. This Tiger goes in quest of something one more time.
Does he have a shot to win this one?
Absolutely. He has a shot every time he laces up his Nike turf shoe.
Well, Bobby's shaking his head yes. Now the question, Tiger's got to stay away from that ugly round like tomorrow, right? Or Saturday.
Could be. Yeah. He has.
Well, if he does
been,
it, he can do
it. It's been difficult for him to string four rounds together. But when you've got a fused back, a torn Achilles tendon, six different knee surgeries, let alone his marital problems and that other little thing he had with women, I think the guy's doing pretty good. I like what he's doing right now.
You like it?
I like it.
You like what he's doing. No, I'm...
It's just...
Believe me, everyone loves to watch Tiger. I love watching Tiger.
Not everyone.
Who doesn't like watch Tiger?
Well, there are a few haters out there.
TV ratings
going
crazy.
And since, you know, we're on the subject, act like you're a fan. You wish him bad every time.
Stop it.
That all the time. Like, don't worry, he'll fail. He just came in here. Bobby was all excited about, hey, Tiger, just another birdie for Tiger. What'd you say? Don't worry. He'll drop six strokes tomorrow. That's what he does.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, you're a fan.
You're on a
Let's
roll
talk
today.
About fans. You're not a fan of golf either, apparently.
Were you not hugged enough as a child? What's going on? Jeez, tell me about it. This is your therapy show.
I don't know. It's age. It's what happens. I think with age, I just become ornery, I can't wait to talk about some of the new rule changes in high school football, because that's going to be exciting.
What would Matt Johnson shoot at the Augusta?
160. If I have to play from the tips, first of all, any golf course in the world where the PGA shows up, it's going to take me the par 5, make it a par 9 for me. It's just, I'm just going to have to punch in Judy on down the fairway.
So if you hit a 7 iron at every shot, would it be 120?
That's actually how I'm going to start playing it, to keep the driver out of my hand.
You don't want to go in the woods out
there. Ever since you circulated last year, that little celebrity little pro-am that we were involved in, and you circulated my golf shot, you couldn't wait. For those of us listening, how would you like to have a guy with a phone next to your face taking pictures of every swing, waiting for the ones that go bad?
Well,
it's not pretty.
So does Twitter work then?
It works for you. It works for you.
You got a lot of comments after that, didn't you?
Everybody who knows me, hey, saw the game. Too bad. Your game's not very good. I see that now. Hey, you know, I can help you. I got a lot of those. Hey, I can help you. I noticed something on that footage that Pagmeter put out. You know, you're a little quick on your backswing.
Can we take a break now? Or are you done talking about yourself?
I don't even know if we're even on there anymore. I really don't.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, talk before we get to Randy Wright. I was at the big athletics director meeting in Porterville yesterday. Jim Critzlow and Marty Bitter did a great job. We'll talk about that before. And, of course, if we want some more phone calls, Let's hope. 844-940. ESPN is our number. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Ride Show.
Don't turn that dial. It's heating up over here.
The Ride Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back to The Ride Show here on a Thursday. It's the Pack Meter. It's Matt Johnson. And apparently I'm a hated guy now because Bobby's all over me. Dude. Hey, bro, the NBA's the greatest. I've never said it wasn't the greatest. I just said they don't hustle enough in the NBA. I love the playoffs. It's a whole nother world. And I
will tell you, day in, day out, every minute of the day, I admire your old school, the mentality of go, 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 go. Sometimes a little unrealistic, but when you see someone not hustling on defense or bending their knees and playing the kind of brand of basketball that suits you, you have a tendency to turn it off. I get that. I am simply in a mode of, I know what excites America fans of any sport. Football is it. As you trickle down, I believe baseball's been struggling with trying to capture something to keep it alive. As the NBA has gone past MLB and college basketball is past, and that last sport that used to be the granddaddy of them all is reaching, as you say, hoping, wishing, and praying that they can stay relevant, because baseball is waning. Not in the eyes of high school. Well, from where they used to be, I should say.
Well, I don't know.
NFL has done nothing but grow.
There's some pretty good contracts in the Major League Baseball.
Football has been nothing but growth, growth, growth. Where baseball, from a fan interest point, they're trying to invent ways to keep people involved, in my opinion.
Well, I think, too, when the kid's growing up, they're not with dad anymore, throwing the ball in the front yard. They don't grow up with baseball. You got to be smarter to play baseball. You got to be focused. Basketball, it's easy. Just throw out a basketball.
And by the way, I went out on a limb, too. I wasn't the most gracious to the great sport of baseball. It just so happened the caller, because that caller could have been the other way, saying, hey, to your other guy, the guy with the Matt name attached, he's an idiot. He's talking baseball. He knows nothing what he's talking about. It just happened to be someone that picked up the ear for your hatred of NBA, and he picked up on it, and that's where we are today. Let's introduce our guest. Let's move on.
Well, before we get to Randy, I want to just throw a little love. Yesterday, I was invited to the athletic meeting in Porterville. All the athletic directors showed up.
Yes.
Marty Bitter, who was his last day as president. We talked. We're going to have some, what I understood is some divisional teams moving, and they were proposed to the board, and we'll get into that later. We won't do it today, but they have until May 3rd to appeal and say, hey, I do not want to go up or I don't want to go down. For example, Madera South has been moved to Division 5 for football, and you have until May 3rd if you want to do that or not. So a lot of teams.
Yeah, we don't. We definitely don't want to do that.
Okay, so
I was set on Division 6.
Or maybe
somehow
seven.
They're settling. Yes, there is no. I don't really delve in that.
Well, let's go to Randy Wright.
We're happy.
Let's go to Randy Wright, the football, the main guy from the SJVOA Officials Association. Randy Wright, welcome in. How you doing?
Oh, thank you for the invitation. I'm very blessed.
Well, Randy, let's talk before. I know two things I really want to get to. I know Matt's got a million questions. First of all, rule changes. The two main ones that pop out on me is it could be a change on the clock. Instead of a 25-second clock, it's going to be like college. And as soon as the play is over, boop, you got 40 seconds.
Correct. And
you like that or not?
I'm going to. I think it'll help the game. The timing of the game will be better. And it's more uniform as they move up through the ranks. It's the same thing in college that they have. So it's just kind of just a little adjustment that they're going to have. But if the ball is the clock is stopped, then we'll go 25.
Okay.
The back judge is still going to go in the back. He still has his countdown for the quarterback and the coaches. The last 5 seconds, he's going to let everybody know what's going on.
Well, that's a
just
great
like,
point.
Well, that is a
wait,
good
wait.
Point.
Tell the fans, remember, if you're at a football game and you see the back judge and he's starting to count with his arm going forward, he's got 5 seconds or it's going to be a delayed game. Now, the only other problem I have, Matt, and you can help me, is no one is going to put a clock out there. Like in basketball, we have a 30-second clock, and you can see how much time left. Not in football. You got to rely on the officials.
Not in California.
That's up to clocks are all over the country.
Yeah.
I've seen them.
It depends on the state. Each state has their opportunity to do what they want to do. California has decided that they're not going to do it.
Right.
So, but it's the same thing. There's no 25-second clock. It's just the back judge in the back.
Okay, so for clarification from a coach's standpoint, I run off tackle. He gets gain of five, gets tackled. You chalk it, play dead, and the 40-second clock starts.
As soon as referee.
Okay. My guy goes sideways, goes wide, end around, sweep, gets pounded out of bounds, boom, 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 boom. It then we revert to a 25-second clock because that's kind of a hard way to, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. We're going to go June 8th to get the actual interpretation of what they want done and how it's done, but that's what we're understanding.
And that's a college-type setup.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
So right on cue, introduce the other guest we have in here, and I think he has a little extensive background in the world of college athletics and other things.
I brought a very good friend. He is my mentor. I call him during football season quite often.
Yes.
Mr. Ken Rivera.
Yep.
Was for 13 years a Mountain West supervisor for football. He got been officiating for SJVOA for many a years. And here's Ken Rivera.
Guys, happy to be here today.
Yes, welcome, Ken.
Thanks for the invite.
Yes, and you have a little Madera South Stallion blood in you, too, I understand.
I worked at Madera South for 9 years, retired in 2016. Great people up there with the Rocio Rodriguez, Todd Lyle. Good people, man.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, the clock part, I don't have a – I figured that was the deal. You know, guys out of bounds, whatever. That's where you implement the – you've got to – you know, hold on here. Can't just start 40 seconds. I've got guys got to get off the ground. I got to get things set up 25 seconds. But I would like to start into the rule that I'm real having a real hard time understanding.
We've had many conversations on this.
Yes. Sure, I've reached out to you many times on this one. You guys are sitting around, and the rules are talked about, and then someone decides, let's try to make that policy. Is that how when rules change – you guys sit around thinking, how can we improve this deal? And then somebody comes up with an idea, puts it down on paper, and then it goes to CIF. How does the process work where we even get to this point we are right now?
You have somebody who has a great idea of what they want to change. So they write a proposal.
Yep.
But they also have to write every rule that it affects and have to make a rationale of why it happens.
Okay.
Then it's presented to the CIF office in Sacramento. They forward that to National Federation for a vote,
right,
and the majority of the states have to approve it, and then it comes back down.
Yep.
In the last 8 years that I've been supervisor, we've had one rule change from California that made it.
Yes.
So which it's a long process.
Which leads into my statement to you and to Ken involving why in the world, every time I've talked with you or any other of the officials in your organization on this new five-man online scrimmage area, but in essence, so nothing, what has really changed? We still have to have, we can't have five on and six off, can we?
No.
No, so why, what is going on?
Think of it this way. If you only have, for some reason, you have an idiot who doesn't get on the field like he's supposed to, so
yes.
Now you only have 10 players instead of 11.
Right.
And he was in, so now you have six on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And four in the backfield. You have an illegal formation. You throw a winning touchdown, it's called back for an illegal formation.
Right.
Now then, we don't have to worry about that. No more than four in the backfield and five minimum on the line of scrimmage. So you can play with nine players and still have a legal formation. You can have 10 players and have a legal formation.
But if you play with nine.
Five on the line, four in the backfield. Now, the backfield is anything beyond the line, beyond the,
yes.
Actually, the tackle's rear end.
Okay.
Anything beyond him is considered backfield, a yard off the ball.
So this is simply to protect when someone's scrambling on and off the field. And you only end up with 10, let's say, on. Coach, you had four in the back, five up front.
You're legal.
You're legal.
Yep. Last year, you wasn't.
Okay.
You had to have seven on line of scrimmage.
Because I was already at my desk with my offensive coordinator and sidekick, Anthony Gallegos, and I'm plotting strategies of how to get the outside wide receivers that are away from that center guards and tackle box and figure out a way against a press man team how I can get my guys all off the line of scrimmage and they're still eligible to go down and play. That's not the case.
It's not the case.
Okay.
If they are on the end of the line, they're eligible to go out. That's it.
All right.
If they're interior linemen, they can't go out.
Sometimes I think you officials have too much time to come up with this stuff. That was really that much of a problem? There was that much...
At the lower levels, we get a lot,
we do get a lot of
illegal
that.
Formations. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because the kids can't...
In college football, that's...
In college, what the rule was, you have seven guys on the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
Five of them 50 to 79.
Yes.
That used to be the rule.
Right.
Now you can have six on the line of field, on the line of scrimmage.
Right.
Five numbered 50 to 79, and no more than four in the backfield.
Yeah.
So you can have 10 players, as long as you have four in the backfield, you have a legal formation.
Interesting. Now, why is it in high school, in college or pro football, you can report number 79 is now eligible. But in high school, if you're wearing that number, you can never catch a pass.
You cannot.
And why would that be, do you think? As long as you report that he's eligible now.
Probably because the referees don't have the access to announce to everybody like they do at the college and professional level.
Yeah.
59 is now eligible.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that capabilities on 95% of the games that we cover.
Okay.
Receivers in college are restricted by number.
Yep. Okay.
So if you got a number 50 to 79,
yep.
You can be off the line of scrimmage
yep.
and run with the ball.
Yeah.
You can receive a backward pass,
mm-hmm.
but you can't receive a forward pass if you have a bad number.
And it's the same thing in high school.
Okay. The other rule change, and the PAG meter filled me in when he came back from the meeting, is they've changed the new target area for horse collar. The back of the shoulder pad or the numbers or the nameplate, that's the area you can't grab onto?
The nameplate, yeah, we're right above the shoulder where the name is, you can't grab that anymore. But really,
when that rule came out in college, had to get the back of the shoulder and pull back.
Inside that collar, you're in there and you're pulling back.
And they've since changed that to the nameplate.
Okay. Now, what if I'm on that nameplate? Thank you, Mr. Mike Parr. If he's listening, what if I'm on that nameplate, but I'm not pulling back, I'm taking him sideways?
No problem.
No problem.
Or if you wrap him.
If you wrap him.
Or if somebody else comes in involved.
But if you grab the V in the neck area inside and you pull a guy sideways down, is that a horse collar? He's not moving backwards, he's moving sideways.
Sideways is in high school is.
Okay.
But it has to be, that is the only move that takes him down.
Interesting.
If you add anything else to it, it is not horse collar.
Yeah. Have you guys come up with any other ideas, college or high school, to make life harder on the defensive player? Because I don't know if you guys have done quite enough yet to completely, deem us absolutely impotent to doing what we have to do.
You cannot trip the runner now.
You cannot trip the runner.
Yep.
Before, I never thought you could trip the runner.
You could always trip the runner.
Oh, you could. Why didn't I use that technique?
I don't know. You could leg sweep him in the
you
past.
Could, really?
Now you can't.
Okay. Now, okay. Here's the other one. This goes back, this is for Ken. This go back a little bit in the football. The ground can't cause a fumble.
But it can cause an incomplete pass.
But it can cause an incomplete pass.
Right. If you're a runner
and
you hit the ground.
Yes.
And you hit your elbow, forearm.
Right.
Anything but the hand or foot.
Yes.
And you hit the ground, the ball comes out.
Yeah.
The runner's down.
Okay.
You catch a pass.
Yep.
You got to maintain possession. On your way to the ground, you got to hold on to it.
Yeah.
If you maintain possession throughout the catch into the ground, it's a catch.
Uh-huh.
If it bobbles up, it causes an incompletion.
Yeah. Because as an old defensive player, I always felt like, I pummeled him to the ground. The ball came out. That's fumble. Oh, no, he's down. I just didn't understand that one. And when instant replay came into effect, do you remember, Ken, when instant replay became the new thing?
It was the best. 2005, 2006.
Yes.
When it got started, officials feel terrible
yeah.
when they leave a game and they've made a mistake.
Yes, yes.
The best thing that happened to officiating in a 50-year period was coming up with instant replay to get the play right before you left the stadium.
Right.
So you weren't talking about it on Monday.
Yep.
Even with all the technology and the dollars spent and the experience of the officials, they still make mistakes. We've been working on targeting now for 4 or 5 years to try to get that right. That is still a difficult rule to enforce.
Yes.
Now they've they've added another responsibility for replay to put a target on if it's not called on the field.
Yeah.
So now they're officiating the game from the press box. Don't know that that's a great way to do it, but they've got to find a way to make sure that the targeting stays enforced. If you have a question, yeah, it's a foul. This year, they've gone away in replay. You either confirm it. It used to be you confirmed it if you had video evidence to confirm the call was correct. You let it stand because you didn't know for sure. You didn't have enough evidence to overturn whatever the ruling was, or it's reversed.
Yes.
You have enough ruling to overturn that. Now, you only have confirm and reverse when it comes to targeting. All other situations that you have replay still has the confirmed, stands, reversed, except for targeting. Because mm-hmm. they don't want to put a kid on a targeting foul unless it's absolutely correct. So last year, if you had a targeting and it was not sure whether it was a target, you'd still put the target on the guy because you were not confirming it. You were letting it stand. That would throw the player out.
Yep.
This year, that won't throw the player out in college.
Now, Ken, have you spent time in the replay booth? Is that
Absolutely.
Part of the Mountain West affiliation, yeah, you had where you're upstairs on a...
We started our replay in 2006 with the red flag. We were the only conference that used a coach's challenge flag when we started replay.
Okay.
It only lasted for a year, mm-hmm. and then they went to the coach calling a timeout, not using a flag like the NFL.
Well, I've watched enough, and it seems like it happens a lot. Probably doesn't, but it seems like it does. The call on the field, targeting or
inbounds, out of bounds, fumble, non-fumble.
Yeah, but I'm sticking with targeting. And then they run the replay to make sure if they're going to kick him out or they're going to keep him in or how you guys do that. And it was one of the most textbook-looking tackles I've ever seen. And it shows on replay, textbook. And then have you been a part of where and then it comes back and it's still, after further review, the player is ejected. I'm thinking, the replay clearly shows it was a clean hit. I see that.
They make mistakes in
the replay. They make mistakes in the replay.
They make mistakes.
Interesting.
They're human beings. They do make mistakes.
Absolutely.
We had one of our officials, Jeff Hansen, worked. He was replay official for the first NC2A championship game. Local guy.
Yep. Well, we're talking rule changes, football, high school, and, of course, college coming up. We'll take a quick break and get back with these gentlemen and reintroduce the Pag Meter to the world of NBA. You're listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
It's time for the 940 ESPN Rise Show. The 940 ESPN Rise Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, Van Buren Insurance, and Firehouse Subs. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matty G. Thank you for hanging out with the Rise Show, your number one local sports show. We keep you updated with all the latest info, Matt. We're here at Fashion Furniture.
Yes, we do.
Tell me, what's the latest? What would you recommend for a young family who's looking for maybe a couch?
A couch? I would go to the reclining couch area. The reclining area. To me, that's where everything's at right now. If I can sit on my couch and not have to worry about popping my feet up on my wife's coffee table, she always comes in, get your feet down from there. But I have to have my legs up. I'm on my feet all day. Yeah. So why not get a sofa with the recliner built in? And the best in the business are right here in the reclining furniture section of Fashion Furniture.
And I'm guessing when you take your shoes off, your feet smell like a petting zoo. Am I right?
No, definitely like wet leather Eskimo leggings that have been out in the sun too long.
So your legs are probably all brown, and you take the shoes off, and you've got like...
I've got a separate sock skin. It's all white.
Can't tell if the socks are on or not.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you want to get with my toenail fungus, too? Anything else you want to cover that goes on the life of a coach?
Well, I got barrage from 12 to 1, so it's your call this hour.
Well, you had it coming.
Jason Donald will join us in a few minutes.
Oh, he's going to be happy with me.
Yeah.
Thank
he
you,
hates
Jason.
You already. He already texted me.
I'm going to have to keep my hands close to my face.
Hey, Randy Wright in the house, and, of course, Kenny, the legendary Kenny's in the house. But, Randy, before I switch the earphones back to Kenny, I mean, being official, tell me about, like a young guy, what do you look for in official, and what do you see? Because I know it takes time to get better and better, but, you know, common sense for me is the key 101, being a good official. And you're looking for officials, right?
We're always looking for officials.
Hey, gas is $8 a gallon. It's a great way to make some money if you're a college kid on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right?
Correct.
So tell us, we want to recruit people now.
What we're looking for is somebody who wants to have fun. You're part of a crew. Most of us have played sports in the past. We enjoy doing things with your team. Your team is everything. Your buddies you sweat with, you work hard with, they're the people that you want to be with.
Yeah.
And in football, we have teams. We have crews. So you want to do things with your crews. They become lifelong buddies of yours.
That's right.
And so just that friendship that you're going to develop. I've been doing this 41 years, and it's the friendships I've had all across this nation because of sports officiating. We're looking for somebody that just wants to come out there. We just have fun is what it's all about. Somebody who wants to learn, somebody that it will take the constructive criticism, we call it a sandwich, that Ken and Don Smith came up with. When you work with somebody, you tell them something good they did, something to work on, something good. So somebody who wants to improve.
Yes.
That's all it is. That's yep. all we're looking for. You don't have to have a 4.2 speed. You don't have to have the greatest arm. We just want you out there, and yep. somebody wants to learn.
It does help to have some amount of speed, it seems like, when the guy's breaking away and your job's to chase, which brings up a good point. Do you set your crews, Ken, to the, for instance, you're getting ready to play a big football game, let's use a high school version, and the offense that's going to be on the field for one of the schools is up-tempo, very fast, a lot of explosive plays and playmakers on the field. Are you mindful of, well, whoever that judge is in that area is going to have to do some running tonight?
I think for all the officials, they're going to have to do some running.
Yes.
We don't particularly look at a particular game like Edison and Clovis
yeah.
and say we have to have fast crew on that game because
right.
there's a lot of quick players.
Yeah.
We just get the best kids, best officials we can put on the field
yeah.
to work with those kids and coaches the best they can.
Yeah.
Officiating is an avocation for us. It's a business for the coaches. It's their livelihood. It's their job. So if you're going to be an official, you got to take ownership of the fact that the game is not played for you. It's played for those kids, for the parents, for the coaches. When you go out there, you be professional. You work hard. You cover the plays. You know the rules. I agree with Randy of having fun. But once that game starts, it's not fun. It's a lot of work, a lot of focus,
yeah.
a lot of preparation. You got to be on your job.
Well, what I appreciate, Ken, is from a coach's and a player's standpoint, having a little rapport with the officials in the game.
And with the coaches? With the coaches?
With everything. Most of the time, and I say most, and I could count maybe on one hand of all the years I've been involved in football, where I've got a real tough one on my sideline or something, and it's a hard time even having a conversation. But most of the time, the guys are engaged. They're showing their professionalism, but they're not so far out of their minds that they can't enjoy a little quiet moment of, oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that was quite a catch your kid made. I enjoy that type of relationship with the officials. In training and advising, do you look for that kind of personality that can at least – not be the quote-unquote patrolman on the side of the road that comes to your window and he has no personality? Do you look for personality?
Yeah, personality is important. You've got to be able to get along with the coaches and players.
Yeah.
Just because you wear the stripes, it doesn't mean you're the end-all. You're just one of the persons out there managing the game. It's their game. It's not your game. You're out there to do a job. And having good people skills will move you up the ladder quicker than
yeah.
most
yeah.
people realize.
Yep.
Kenny, Randy Wright, I got two questions for you. Number one is, why does it always seem, for example, Fresno State, Keyshawn Johnson catches a slant, 88 yards. No one can get a beat on him, but there's a 63-year-old, 5'3", little referee just hanging with Keyshawn Johnson right down the sidelines. That's one thing. Okay, you ever notice? The other one is, drives me nuts when I'm broadcasting. The flag goes up. He throws it up 317 feet in the air. It's one of the highest. Goes over the lights, the flag. You know, they have to show everyone, I just threw a flag. The guy runs a 4.5 40 to the main, the white hat, to tell him it's a sideline warning. He runs back, and he's got to look at the whole crew. Like, what? Can't we just talk over here? That sideline warning kills me because I think there's lack of communication on the sideline warning. There's my common sense. Go.
Randy, why don't you take that, my friend?
I will. Usually with the sideline warnings is they've been working with the coaches throughout the game.
Well, then don't warn.
Never get warned. Cold flag. Let's have that relationship with the coaches. When I became supervisor, I gave up refereeing football. That's one of the things I miss the most. Having Matt in my back pocket saying, Randy, you got to do something about it. Randy, they're doing this. And Matt, come on, buddy. And that relationship we have. But sideline warning is used. We've had enough. We're dealing with it. And we're done.
And from great questions, by the way, from Nick. I mean, those are, seriously, those were award-winning. The sideline, and I can say this without any hesitation in my voice because I've been a part of all different types of sideline groups, coaches-wise. We make life very miserable at times for the officials because it's amazing in the world of football. I think it's in basketball, too. We can't stay where we're supposed to stay. It's almost like it's some kind of genetic defect we all have that we have to get close and out of that area. So by the time, to answer Nick's question from my end of it, and I agree with him because we do radio together, the games, and I always go along with it, but as a coach, when I get see a sideline warning, it was very much overdue. Like, okay, you got to set a tone here. Because I know my staff, what we're capable of, and I know what the officials are going through. So I see that. But that second part of his question, though, which I think is amazing, how about that? That's true. A 63-year-old man's running a 4.2 40, keeping up with the NFL first-round draft pick.
You look at it.
Is it angles that I'm missing?
They have a 25-yard lead.
That's what it is.
I had just got double knee replacement done.
Yeah.
I'm 61 years old.
Yeah.
If I go 25 yards deep,
yeah,
I can probably get there about the same time you are because I have such a lead.
Yeah.
And you're carrying a football and you're getting hit. Your running mechanics change because you're hanging on to the football and you got all these pads. I have a big lead on you.
Right on.
And if back judge ever gets beat, they got to buy all night long on that.
Yeah,
that,
so they're like the free safety.
Cardinal sin.
Deeper than deepest. Don't let it. Yeah, you're on it.
They're about 5 yards deeper than the deeper.
There you go. Now, to close with this, great stuff, guys. I mean, really good stuff. Thanks for coming in. I want to go back to what you said earlier, Randy, about the camaraderie. Because I'm going to definitely, when I'm said and done, that, to me, I want to officiate. Because it's, and I've been to parties. I've been invited to groups through some of your great officials. Had great backyard barbecues, and they wanted to get my opinion on what coaches are looking for and all that. It's just great stuff. Who is the most? Give us an indication, because it's family. And when the great Greg Lemon passed away, that was a tragic moment. He was a good friend of mine at a restaurant and everything else. You mentioned Don Smith, the Mike Parts. These guys are great people. Are you mindful as the head of all this? You're trying to create that great camaraderie of people that all get along, and that's going to be my crew. And then give us some life tenure of what type crews do you have been doing it together for quite a while?
We have 18 crews at the high school level.
Yep.
And I would say the top five crews have been together for at least 4 years.
Yes.
Yep. So they know what's going on, and they work together. The referee chooses his own crew, and the crew chooses them. So they've all decided to work together to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But to change the subject real quick, we have a great program with the high schools. Edison High School, we had 7 of their kids play football on Friday night.
I saw them on Saturday.
On Saturday.
Yeah, I saw them out there. I saw a lot of those kids out there. It's great stuff.
So now they're learning the game. They're learning the rules of the game. They're learning how to interact appropriately with other players, coaches, and parents.
Yep.
And they get paid.
That's right.
It's a great life learning experience for these kids.
And it's also worth mentioning, more than ever, the great work the SJVOA does with scholarships for graduating high school seniors. I've seen all that stuff around the different schools. We as administrators and teachers, we commend you for your service to the kids because you're giving back. And so you certainly are doing things the right way. It's been a pleasure, Nick Papagni. Thank you for having this moment. I think that you guys are ambassadors to the great sport of football. You can't have the game without the officials. You take too much flack, obviously, at times because we're all passionate about what we do. But all officials, but primarily what I like to focus on, I think the SJVOA, I've always been impressed, as Nick and I have for all the years we've been doing this, with the leadership you show on Friday nights, Thursday nights, and Saturdays with our youth. Great job, Nick.
Thank you. Let me give you my phone
yes,
number.
Yes, please.
If anybody out there is interested in becoming official, text me, 559-213-5600. Text me your name, your email address, and what sport you want to do, and I will make sure that that supervisor contacts you. We start training in football in May. Basketball's also in May. We got training going on year-round. It's easier to train in the off-season than when season starts. So if you're interested, again, my text, 559-213-5600.
And those numbers will be up on the Pac Mater Twitter. We'll continue to support. Thank you, Kenny.
Thank you guys for the invitation.
Randy, awesome stuff as always. Nick, that was very beneficial.
You got it. I love these guys. And without great athletes and coaches and football games that we talk on this show, without the officials,
yeah. We
got Stugatz. So that's let's right. Take a break. Jason Donald's going to join us in a few seconds, and we'll talk how much Matt hates baseball when we come back.
I love baseball.
On 940 ESPN.
Baseball has been very, very good to me. Good, thank you,
we'll
guys.
Be right back.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. Live right here at Fashion Furniture. Kenny and Randy Wright, outstanding. Boy, if you want to get... How good are those guys? They've been doing it for a long, long time, being officials.
Well, when you've done it for a length of time, you know the game so...
Yeah.
The ins and outs of everything you can think of. They're virtual encyclopedias of the world of football or whatever game they officiate, baseball, basketball, doesn't matter.
I just love that. I want to make sure people realize it's fun to go out there. You're like part of the action. It's like Randy said, you get together after the game. Remember in the third quarter, we ran that sweep and you didn't call holding? You know, there's you become, it's part of the game.
Well, they always, the good officials, and there's so many good ones out there, but they all say the same thing. And I've talked with literally probably 100. And I always ask that question, what's the end game? What's the goal? Is to walk off the field and no one's even talking to you because they know that there was nothing to talk about that was worth mentioning other than great job or any of that. Not to be a part of the game to where you're recognizing, why did you blow that? You don't want to be that guy or young lady.
Yeah, no question about it. Here's a guy now on the radio who played soccer, football, baseball, and he was kind of good at all of it.
Yes, he was.
The Bullard, I mean, Buchanan Bear legend, Jason Donald. Jason, how are you?
What's up, boys? How we doing?
We're doing very well.
I don't know about okay, legend, and Nick, you can't be dropping a Bullard first and then Buchanan. That's oil and water, man.
Well, we tried to recruit you over back in the day, but it didn't work out. So I just want to.
He's got his mind. Yeah. He's got his mind on the bees. There's a lot of bees out there.
So, yeah. Jason Donald.
Yes.
Jason Donald, former Buchanan Bear, Arizona Wildcat, played in the major leagues, been there. So Matt today was trying to tell us that, well, baseball is not a popular sport anymore, even though Mike Trout and Bryce Harper decided for $10 billion.
See how he does this. See how he does it.
See, so it's my turn to get him back.
Yeah, go
tell
ahead.
Tell me about little kids and baseball, because I want to find out about how kids are anymore. Tell us about the baseball world. Why did you like it over football and even soccer?
Oh, you know, I don't, to be honest with you, and I don't know. I was drawn to it. I really liked football a lot when I was a kid, and even all the way through high school, but there was just something about, I don't know, maybe I'm a glutton for punishment. There's just something about the every day you are playing, and it's obviously a tremendous amount of work. But every day you've got to be able to prove yourself, regardless of what you did or how good you are or how good you're perceived to be. every night you got to toe the line. Every dang night, you know, either you are going to be successful or not. And I think the ability to just respond and to fight and to push every day. I mean, really, there is no let off with the game. And I think I started to appreciate that as I got older. But I think when I was young, I like to hit. That's, you know, I really enjoyed that aspect of it. But, yeah, I don't know why I was just drawn so much more to that, but I was.
Well, Jason, when you were coming up and in the youth level, were you aware of you're involved in all these different sports? Was that by plan or just by chance, everything that came up? I want to try that. Or did you have this feeling that you just wanted to be a multi-sport, as Nick said, legend, sensation? Or were you just, whatever's happening, I'm telling Mom and Dad, I'm going to go do it?
Yeah. You know, I think I was an active kid. And I think my parents didn't try to corral or control or try to, like, live through me, so to speak. I think there's a lot of that goes on these days that, well, I didn't make it, and so, you know, we're going to force it by making you play all these sports. I was just a competitive kid. So all my friends did this. I did it too. You know, it was just everybody kind of was in that mold of when it's football season, you play football. When it's more as a kid, I played football and baseball, if you can. But when it was basketball season, you played basketball. When it was baseball season, you played baseball. During the summer, you played all-star baseball. And then as you got older into football, then you had summer lifting and summer workouts while playing football. So I think, there was no rhyme or reason other than I was always outside. I was always playing. I wanted to play sports. And I think that, unfortunately, nowadays, I think people misunderstand. By the way, it doesn't matter how hard you work in baseball, really. Either you can hit or you can't. Either you can make plays or you can't. In football, either you're a big, strong, aggressive, athletic, and physical, or you're not. It doesn't matter how hard you work. If you're minimally talented, unless you come out of the womb, I think, like with that God-given ability, you could play 18-year-round, you know, sports. And you got no chance. I mean, I think what I see from baseball these days, all the year-round stuff, I'm not knocking it, but I think it's unfortunate because I don't think there's a certain mentality that takes to play other sports. Yeah, go on.
Wouldn't you think, Jason, and not just relaying it to your life experience, because everyone is different. Like you said it perfectly. I always tell the kids that, and my own son, who graduated from Buchanan and was the track guy. Oh, well, son, don't worry. Football is not for everyone. Baseball is not for everyone. This might not be for everyone, but in your life experience, you've been shaped by the way you grew up. But I would ask you, as a athlete who got paid to play and played at the highest level, the peers that were in your group in Major League Baseball, Did you have a chance to relay and talk about your youth growing up? Was there a lot of multi-sport guys?
Shoot, I played with guys from the Dominican Republic and Venezuela that were hitting pebbles and rocks as kids. You know, like, I think...
oh, there he is.
Yeah, I would say a majority of the American guys,
Yes.
Like, you know, I think it's funny that, you know, all this money that gets spent and all these people that pour so much time into it, and they think it needs to look a certain way, especially, you know, in the U.S. with this year-round stuff. When you got guys coming over from the DR in Venezuela that they've never had a pair of real cleats until they got to an academy. So it's like there's a lot of time wasted, I think, in that regard. But I would say, yes, a majority of guys I played with in pro ball played football, played basketball. There were some guys that were like, why didn't you stick with football? Like, you look like a tight end. You're 6'5", 260, and you probably run a 4.5 40. You're a freak of nature. So, but yes, I would say that a majority of guys I played with were multi-sport guys, and they were extremely aggressive people. They were physical, and there was a certain mentality to how they did things. There is no softness.
None. Well, that's good. There it is, Jason. So the last part of that equation is, so in your opinion, how does it help a young developing athlete to be a part of a variety of different sports, coaches, and that setup? How does that help?
In my opinion, I think, one, the obvious one is the athletic movement part. You are having to make different movements on a football field, a basketball court, a soccer field, a baseball field. They're all athletic, but they're all different. You're
yes.
using different parts of your body. It develops. That. I remember as a kid, I read that Cal Ripken Jr. played a ton of soccer, and he said he felt like that helped his feet for him to be able to play shortstop as a 6'4", 6'5 guy, you know, the one of the first to do it. But I also think that there's some sports, you know, there's not a whole lot of guys that roll around that are the dude in football and a dude in baseball or, you know, vice versa or another sport, you know, football, basketball. If you're a dude maybe in one of them, then maybe you're okay in the other. You know, it's I don't know exact you know, I can't think of guys off the top of my head. But you learn how to be the man here and what that's like, but you also learn what it's like to be the sixth man or a guy that's coming off the bench to hit. Not a starter, not all the attention on you, and I think you you become a better teammate. You become more understanding, in a way, to what different roles guys have. And I think all that stuff is tremendous and is good and beneficial. And I think, you know, playing just one sport, hey, if that's a person's passion, then go for it. But if you say, I'm just going to focus on one sport because I'm going to get a scholarship, you're ruining experiences that could be extremely beneficial for, I think, somebody's quality of life, you know?
We're talking with Jason Donald, the former Buchanan Bears superstar and, of course, major league player. So, Jason, I watch a lot of high school baseball, and I always sit behind home plate because I want to see what the pitcher's working on. What, you know, I want to see everything. And I see so many hitters now taking fastballs right down Cockapoo Lane, and I'm trying to figure out what they're thinking about. Taking pitches right down the middle, all of a sudden it's 0-1. I don't understand. Yep. And why is hitting such a different story? Is it because they're not playing different sports? Because I see a lot of one-sport guys now, and maybe it's dad saying, well, football's just too hard, Johnny, and I want you to play baseball. Focus on 12 months out of the year, and so I don't want you to get hurt in any other sport. What is going on with the hitters?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, but it's like if you're gonna focus on one sport and you're gonna do that, you better be able to roll the pole. You better not be taking heaters right down the middle. I don't know why guys tend to do that. It's like when I was coaching, it's like I would wake up in cold sweats and want to go smoke cigarettes because I couldn't take the guys like taking fastball anymore. It's like you put all this time and effort into your swing. You grind in the cage, you work, take BP, and now you're going to get up there and be tentative, be like take, be passive. I think there's a passivity to when guys are careful, they become passive. I think there's just too much carefulness. I think things are being taught incorrectly where people talk about like going the other way and how to go the other way. It's like, no, I think that you're supposed to, you're always ready. You roll out of bed ready. Like literally the moment you put on your shoes, you're ready to go. There is no excuse for, oh, I wasn't ready to hit. Well, why not? Why weren't you ready to hit? Oh, I don't know. Well, you better get ready to hit. I mean, I don't know what else to say other than the guys that I played with coming up, the good hitters attacked. They would go, I'm going to get my three hacks in, or I'm getting this thing done in one swing. I think
those days are over.
Mentality.
Those
yeah,
are over.
No, I think it's just a mentality of I'm going to get you. Like I'm going to get you, and I think I just think things have changed a little bit. everybody's a lot nicer. And I think just guys are afraid to be aggressive. And I don't know why there's a tentativeness to be aggressive. If I teach my kids one thing, it's going to be you might not be talented, but you are going to be aggressive. I don't care how good you are or how bad you are. Like, you're going to hack. You're going to get after, or you're going to just be aggressive in whatever you're doing. I think that's the issue. There's just guys not understanding. Get in there and whack something. Get after it, dude. Get your money.
We're talking with Jason Donald, the former Buchanan Bear. Well, you're going to go down as one of the greatest plays in the history of Major League Baseball. Galarraga's got a perfect game going. You hit one down the first baseline. You're out at first base, and you clearly, I think you knew you were out, but the umpire messed up and said safe. You blew the perfect game. Did you at one time go, I'm sorry, but I know you can't do it, but if you would have said, maybe someday this might happen, but Mr. Umpire, I was out, and changed everything, because that was before the instant replay. What did you think when they called you safe right then? Like, oh, my God, here we go.
I think I blacked out. One, I was like, there's no way, because people were like, hey, you know that you did this? I said, no, I don't remember, like, how I responded, like, my body or any, you know, body posture. I just remember going, oh, dude, there's no way. Like, I was shocked. Like, I literally was shocked, and I remember our first base coach, who was Sandy Alomar Jr., who's still there, their dugout, the Tigers' dugout, they were, like, losing their minds. Like, they were screaming at the top of their lungs. Screaming.
I don't blame them.
At Jim Joyce. Yeah. And the crowd, and this is like a Monday night, so it wasn't like anything, you know, crazy. I've never been in a mob or a part of a mob. That was, like, kind of spooky, the noise. Like, the anger that was coming from the people there, they were... It was like a, they weren't like upset, like they were furious. They're like booing and being upset. And I remember it's like sitting there, I looked up at Sandy. You know, he's like 6'4", and he's like looking at me, just staring at me. He goes, you were out, bro. And I said, yeah, I know, man. I said, I know. I can't believe it. It was crazy. I didn't even.
Well, Jason, thanks to
like,
you.
Everybody's like, yeah, you're.
Thanks to you, Galarraga is now, I think he's at a Denny's at a short order cook. He was never the same after that. So,
yeah. it's crazy because, like you had said, Tags, like, yeah, you want, like, wouldn't you just say we'll give it back? Heck no, you got to earn your hits there, man. You know,
yeah.
It's hard to get hits in the big leagues, you know? I didn't get enough of them.
I asked Rex Hudler that once. He said the same thing. No. If they screw you, you're going to screw them right back. Are you kidding me? I love to get hit. Yeah.
Yeah, either his mom's going to cry or my mom's going to cry. I'm going to try to make his mom cry.
Was there ever any moments, Jason, in that run in the Major League Baseball that you just started feeling like a certain pitcher or someone you scouted, and you just, for some reason, that you just had it dialed in? You could pick up the pitch immediately.
Yeah.
On any given night in your career, did you have that evening or a couple days or a week in a row where you just thought, I don't know what's going on, but everything, I can see everything. Everything is coming so easy to me.
Yeah. I remember, like, a few times, I remember, and I don't know why, I think there was a few guys that, for whatever reason, like, okay, it's easy for me to say now, these guys are pitching and I'm, you know, I'm at home, so by no means am I saying, oh, I own this guy. But I remember I, like, saw, like, a guy like Zach Greinke really well. You know, some guys that were really good arms, and that's when he was throwing, like, 97, 98 with a big breaking ball. He still's got that breaking ball. Now he really, really pitches. Like, the first few times, like, my first five at-bats, I think I got a couple hits off, like, Verlander. But I think... Literally, he's like, who's this chump? Here's a heater. Like, here's a heater. Get your base hit. I don't really care, but I'm going to punch the next guy out. Like, but yeah, I feel like there wasn't too many guys where you feel really, really good against.
So Jason, how about the other side of it? How about the other side where you go, I have no chance. This guy, he is so good. Who was that guy?
Oh, Sale. Like, Chris Sale. Like, there were some lefties where I was like, I saw lefties really well, right? And, like, Chris Sale was filthy disgusting. Like, Verlander was, like, filthy disgusting. After he was like, all right, I'm actually going to pitch this guy now. I'm not just going to throw him heaters, like, 95 down the middle. Like, I'm going to gas it up to 100. I remember Sabathia. Like, CC Sabathia was nasty. Like, I mean, really, I feel like I could go on and on and on because the, those guys, I remember I faced Andy Pettit, and he was
listen
huge.
To this list. This That's, list is just, man, yeah. you've had, yeah.
Yeah. And he, I remember, like, you know, he was, I think it was his last year or second to last year, and he was probably only, like, 88 to 90. And he was still backdooring cutters and running cutters in on righty's hands. And I remember I was like, dude, this guy's filthy. Like, I can't imagine facing him when he was 26, throwing 94 miles an hour with the big breaking ball, you know. So I think those guys, once they find two, like, the thing they do so well, one, their stuff is so good. But two, they set you up. Like, they'll set you up with something to get to something or – you know, or like they see a tendency in you or a hole, so they'll just, they expose it. Like, they're unmerciful. They won't even, you know, you talk about high school kids taking fastballs. It's like, dude, when a guy's throwing 97 with the yellow hammer breaking ball and a changeup, like, bro, you better be ready to hit. Like, it's always a yes until it's a no. Like, you have no chance. Once the stuff gets better, if you're a guy that is always a no, then a yes, you got no chance. But those guys, they're unmerciful.
Well, Jason, all I know is I threw batting practice for the Buchanan. I was your hitting coach back in the day. We won the Valley. And I only hit two guys because your dad only put me in the box, boy in the back, and I got to throw BP every day for like 2 hours. I only hit two guys ever. It was Justin Wilson and Jason Donald, and they both ended up in the big league. So I don't know.
You got the magic touch. Come over to my house. I want you to hit Major with a pitch. And I want you to hit Jacoby after that. I want you to
threw every day like three-quarters fastballs to these guys all day long. That's all I got to do. Go back in the box, Pag Meter. You're going to go in the box.
Oh, man.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for joining us. That's good times.
You got it.
That's awesome stuff.
Absolutely.
We got to do it again.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. That's
thank you, Jason.
Jason Donald. Yep. I mean, he's... I don't know, when you're facing, CC and Verlander.
He just threw it out there, you know, Granky. Well, Verlander, he was in CC, Sabathia.
Yeah, Chris Sales is pretty good.
Yeah, then he threw Sales. And then he hit Pettit. I mean, there's right there, like six Hall of Famers.
But he's in a part of history with that perfect game.
That was what we call, that was world
two
viral
outs
national.
In the ninth inning.
Yeah.
The last play of the game. He's out. It's a perfect game. What do you call? Safe? Really? And that was before instant replay. So
and he was in Detroit. He's so right. I'd rather
now, Cleveland. You know,
would you rather,
Detroit
would you rather
back in
be
the day.
In Philly or Detroit when all hell breaks loose? You take your choice.
Yeah, let's take a break. This is the Rise Show. You're listening here at Fashion Furniture, 940 ESPN.
We'll be back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman and Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Coming up at 2 o'clock, Tony D, 3 o'clock, CG, so we got you covered the rest of the afternoon. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matty J right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. Matt, Saturday night, got a little Pag Meter lymphoma party. We're changing venues.
It's our annual Spring Bash. The Pag Meter Spring Bash, we'll be doing this once a year. This year has special relevance, is that we're trying to raise money for cancer, the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. Something that's very near and dear to your heart, to my heart. Anyone who has never been affected by the dreadful disease cancer is probably should think they're lucky stars every day because it affects so many of us. And you're here to raise money and to help that great cause. But more importantly, not more importantly, but equally important, is just getting everyone together in a setting where we can commiserate and talk about things that have happened to us over the years. I love getting the kind of people, SJVOA officials, athletic directors, old coaching friends, friends of neighborhood, to get us together for a big party that we would like to do every year, the Pagmeter Spring Bash.
It's going to be $50. How about this one?
Yep.
Go out and enjoy the Doghouse Grill. It's going to be barbecuing. Yep. At our party.
Yep. Doghouse Grill will
now,
be
you know
at the
how
party.
It is. You have to go wait in line. You have to strategically figure out where to park when you go to the Doghouse Grill. Matt Billingsley's bringing the home to you.
Yes.
So we're going to bring the barbecue out. $50 if you want to come to
although the parking will actually be worse because we're in a nice neighborhood.
Yeah. We had to change venues. The other first location I had on Twitter, and I'm going to change it, they can't handle it. They couldn't handle the people. So we said, bye-bye. So we're going to switch it. So it'll be on Twitter. I'm going to change it up this Saturday night.
It's this Saturday night.
But I invite all
everyone,
coaches,
please.
Anybody involved with sports.
I'd like to have the caller, Matthew, that called in. Make sure he comes so we can
he'll be there.
Continue to,
yeah.
to bash.
And I'll put out the NBA for the playoffs on TV
yeah.
for him.
There
so
you
we
go.
Can listen to us.
There you go.
That's what we're going
to
do.
But we could have a little music, a little festivities, and, of course, we have all kinds of great prizes to give away. With not just raffles, but a variety of ways that we're going to be giving you, our good friends and guests to this party, something to go home with.
Yeah, we're going to have fun. We're going to talk sports. And if you do have maybe a silent auction item,
be nice.
Get a hold of the Pagmeter on Twitter. You can message me and
get to the Pagmeter Twitter. Everything you need is all there. It explains it very well. If you can't make the party, try to make a donation to just such and I'm so proud that they picked you out of the lineup. Knowing your background, Nick, and family and your wife and just the ways that cancer has been involved in your life, it's time that we always give back.
Yeah, if you want to just go to my Pagmeter page for the lymphoma, it's mwoypagmeter.org. Pretty easy. mwoypagmeter.org. And you can donate $5 if you want. You'll feel better.
Well, why not just go to the Pagmeter Twitter? It's all written out.
Well,
every time you open the page, it's right there. Why do you want to give someone on the road right now? Well, once again, what did he say? Have you ever tried to take notes while you're driving? It doesn't work out.
Yeah,
I got a ticket the other day for something similar to that.
Yeah.
Go figure.
You did.
Got billboards everywhere. I'm trying to take down a number on the side of the road, and I get called for something like that.
Yeah, we need more billboards out there, don't we? How about the winds the other day?
We need more billboards.
I'm driving down Palm Avenue, and a giant palm tree. What are the odds? A giant palm tree goes right in the middle of Palm Avenue, and traffic both ways couldn't go through. I never seen wind like that.
Well, that was as close as I've been once, obviously, in the Pacific Ocean region, enjoying some time with my wife, where the winds were pretty heavy, like almost hurricane-type winds. But I don't ever, it happens probably every year, but that to me, my whole house was shaking. That was some severe wind that we just had. Very big.
I don't know how, I mean, baseball games, I was getting texts and messages going, hey, fly ball to the shortstop, ended up at almost off the wall. It's just the wind was blowing out, forget it. But it was something.
And I would like to congratulate the state of California for building what I now consider the largest mural for graffiti artwork ever devised by mankind, that beautiful, beautiful slab of all that concrete for high-speed rail that has become a billboard of anyone with a little touch to their spray can now decorate our great highways. It's a brilliant move. I love it. Love it. Absolutely fabulous that I get to be entertained by that every morning on my way to work.
Well, this is a time where you get all your frustrations out for the week. Anything else, Bugs, Matty J.?
No, that one's been building for a while. I'm having a very good week, and track and field is among us. This Friday, the Sanger Metric Classic is underway out at Sanger, and Sanger puts on as good a track meet as anybody in America. And then the following week, it's Easter break for most of the kids out here, and you've got great baseball coming up, the Easter Classic, and then, of course, the Sanger Easter Classic track meet. A lot of good stuff's happening right now. And by the way, volleyball, thank you for notifying the Pagmeter Report, whoever runs that poll for you, that there's a little squad out there, Madera South Stallions. They're pretty good.
Yeah, they knocked off Bullard the other night.
I knew they would. They obviously, the truth and the rumor was correct, that they felt like they gave away a real good one in the first time they went around, and sure enough, three straight sets.
You know, we're going to be this week. Saturday starts the Fowler Easter Classic Baseball Tournament. Bill Fever and the Red Cats are going to be hosting. Great games going on in Fowler. Starts Saturday and then Monday, Tuesday.
Great hospitality, great action, and some of the finest cuisine this side of the Mississippi is served out at the ballpark.
That's all you care about is the food.
Well,
there's nothing better than
Fowler. It does matter. It does matter.
When you have five people working back there to a five-star chefs, that's pretty good.
Anybody at a snack bar for a local high school baseball game who's making root beer floats, I think they're pretty good. I think they arrived.
How about the roasted, the smoked turkey they had?
The smoked turkey, yeah. The sandwich, the brisket, the tri-tip.
Look at
go
Bobby Kay in the house. Ricky Henderson bobblehead lady.
Okay.
For the silent auction.
Yes.
Good job. Also, the Fresno Easter Baseball Classic, the 50th annual, Jason Pappy and Ken Pappy are running, starts Monday. And you and I will be at the coaches' dinner Sunday night.
That's right.
That's one of the best. It starts Monday. Wednesday night, hopefully you and I will be doing the championship on NorCal TV. We're trying to work that out right now. We'll be at Clovis West on that Wednesday night, 7:30.
I'll have to get my baseball voice together and good swing. He stayed back on that one.
Didn't try to do too much.
Back in Shreveport, just a little ding for your Giant fan.
Well, what's the Matt Meter saying weather next week?
Great weather. We have a slight chance of rain, but I think
really?
I think we're now shaping into that perfect weather pattern. It's time to play ball.
You know what's awesome is you watch these teams come from out of town, and they show up, and they see maybe a Buchanan,
yeah,
or Clovis East, Clovis North, Clovis West, Clovis, and they go, are you kidding? They get to play in these fields? We don't even have a fence, coach. Look at the dugout. They got lights in there. It's amazing. That what Clovis Unified has, we got some of the best.
And I still think they can do more. I really do. I believe that they can add more visuals. Some of these ballparks have produced the likes of the Jason Donalds and Justin Wilson and to many others.
That's
Central,
great.
Tom Goodwin.
Clovis does a good job.
There are so many great athletes have been turned out. I expect as a fan to come into those ballparks and read on signage from Megaprints or Quick Signs the most beautiful collection of vignettes celebrating the athletes who've come through their schools, both boys and girls.
James Patrick at Clovis does a great job. They
yes.
have all their national championship teams when you walk in. I think it's fantastic. Hey, how about this, Teddy? Maybe Fresno State should do that someday.
How about that on the side of the 99 freeway paying tribute?
Then I'm names thinking come. Cedar and Barstow. Put a giant picture of
I'm
Eric,
thinking 99 and Cedar Barstow. You have to have, there has to be some way to decorate 99 more than we've done other than just the railway, the rail yards and all, that's a pretty good touch, but I think that we could do better.
How? Well, if you were the mayor, what would you do?
I would build a wall. I'd actually, is there a way that we could melt the concrete that built the high-speed rail, then re-pour it as a wall that has signage of Fresno State Athletics and all the great things we're doing in high school and college and Fresno Pacific and everything else out there.
Great question. So when we take down these bridges that are going to be sit there,
Nick Watney mural, Nick Watney.
No, what do you do with chopped up cement? Can you grind it up and make a...
I just don't think they've got to that area of technology yet where they can reuse.
Can't
use
be fertilizer?
Cement.
You can't grow other little baby cements?
You could certainly use it as ground cover to build, you know, maybe we can help rebuild our infrastructure with that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Part of the highway. We
Why
might
not?
Be on to something because you and I are the only ones who said 5 years ago the high speed rail had zero chance.
Zero chance. And we were laughed at.
If people would just listen to our show a little more, we're going to keep you updated with all the latest. I want to thank Randy Wright, Kenny coming in today talking officials.
Yes.
I want to thank Jason Donald, another great Rise show. It's what we do. And next week we'll probably be talking the end of the
get on Pac-Man Twitter. Let's get out to the party this Saturday night. Come join us, please. We're going to have a blast.
We'll be glad. Doghouse Grill is going to be out cooking for you. So join us Saturday night. Go to my Pac-Meter either on Twitter or Facebook. I'll keep you updated. Have a great afternoon, everybody. You've been listening to The Rise Show. Thank you, Russ, and thanks, Bobby Boy, on 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Get in the game.